Be'ezus Hashem, we're beginning now the Parsha class, Parsha on Parsha's Koyrach. It is Chav Hei Sivan Tavshin Ayin Zayin, corresponding with the English calendar, June 19th, 2017. Parsha's Koyrach is another terrible, infamous story that happened to Jewish people and that has affected us till today. Yaakov Avinu foresaw this when he blessed his children before he passed away. When Yaakov Avinu blessed Shimon and Levi, the Torah says in Parashat Vayechi, Perek Memtes, Pasuk Vav, it says, "Besodam al tavo nafshi, b'kaholam al teichad kevodi." The second half of the pasuk is, "In their congregation, do not mention my honor, do not mention my name." Yaakov Avinu foresaw that there was going to be a rebellion between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu against Moshe Rabbeinu. And he was so taken by this rebellion that he said, when you talk about the ancestry of Korach, please do not mention my name. It's such a chilul Hashem, I don't even want my name to be mentioned. So if we now turn to Parashas Korach at the beginning, page 820 in the art scroll, the parasha begins, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzor ben Kohaz ben Levi, and Korach took, who was the son of Yitzor, the son of Kohaz, and the son of Levi, and does not mention the son of Yaakov, because Levi was the son of Yaakov. And this is the reference of that pasuk that I mentioned before in Vayechi, where Yaakov Avinu was so taken by what had happened with this rebellion, that he didn't even want his name mentioned, because by mentioning his name would be a chilul Hashem.
He foresaw?
He foresaw that there was going to be this rebellion, and it was a tremendous chilul Hashem. My Rebbe, Rav Chaim Dov Kelver Shlita, I'm going to quote some of the things he said in the Sefer, which I love and I often quote. I remember him saying in Shir, that Korach was the first Reformed Jew. Korach was the one who had the audacity to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought down the Mesorah, the tradition, the Torah, to the Jewish people. And Korach had the chutzpah of starting a rebellion and saying, "No, you're saying things on your own, this is not true. Who gave you the right," and so forth. And we have to talk about this. We have to talk about what is Korach's weapon. How did he gain so much strength in fighting Moshe Rabbeinu openly? What was his tactic? We have to also understand his punishment and how all of this plays a role in the episode of Korach. We have to understand the story a little bit, and it all touches upon midos that we're going to discuss, and it's something that we'll hopefully walk away with. Korach, if he would, his basic complaint was, as Rashi explains, that he wanted to become the Kohen Gadol. He felt that there are four brothers. Levi had, who? Three children. Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Three children to Levi. Kohath had four children. Amram, the father of Moshe and Aaron. Yitzhar, the father of Korach. Hebron, which is not mentioned in the rebellion. And Uziel. Uziel was the youngest. So he felt, in his opinion, if Moshe Rabbeinu became the leader, kind of like the king, the president of the Jewish people, so to say, Lahavdul. So then the Kohuna Gedola, the high priesthood, should have gone to him. Because if you look at the order of the brothers, right, the children of Kohas, then the next in line, the honor would go to him, to Korach. So he waited. He didn't get it. Then after time, Elitzaphon ben Uziel, his cousin, Elitzaphon, ended up, actually not cousin, it was his nephew, right? Because Uziel
would have been Izhar's brother, right?
Uziel is whose brother?
Yitzhar's
brother.
It's Korach's cousin.
It's Korach's cousin. Right, you're right. Korach's cousin takes over. He was appointed Nasi, al pi adibo, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said, what kind of a shame, what kind of decadence has been put upon our family? In his opinion, give honor according to the order. And you put Elitzaphon, the youngest, the cousin no less, in place of me, Korach. Now you have to understand, Korach was a very big Talmud Chacham. Korach, if he wanted to become Kohen Gadol, he knew that he would risk his life every time he would walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim,
right. Yeah.
On Yom Kippur. He knew that was a very, very risky and certainly a very dangerous thing to do if you weren't worthy. So he was ready to put himself online. Right? So he knew where he was, and we know that Korach was a very, very big Talmud Chacham, also a great person in his own right, and he was worthy in his mind, for sure.
So he would have passed the test in Yom Kippur.
He would have passed the test. But that wasn't God's bidding. Hashem wanted Moshe and Aharon to be the two main leaders, and then he offered Elitzaphon to be the Nasi of Shevet Levi. And this is what happened. Now, why did not Korach bring up this odd question of why does the Kahuna go to Aaron or Kohen and not to me? What perked him on just now and not before? Had he started before, the Jewish people would have stoned him alive. How dare you go ahead and contend? Right by Moshe Rabbeinu, at the time when Aaron HaKohen was appointed to take over the leadership, when Moshe was supposed to go up to Har Sinai, and then Aaron HaKohen, why wasn't Korach outspoken, said, how come he's supposed to be taken over? I should have been. He knew better. If we would have done then, he would have been stoned alive. The Jewish people said, chutzpah. Moshe Rabbeinu set him up.
Well, what did he have to lose anyway? He wasn't going to make it into the promised land.
At this point, Korach
was prepared.
He didn't
know that back then.
At this point, Korach had an agenda. He wanted to be Kohen Gadol, and all of a sudden, he starts up with Moshe Rabbeinu later. When did Moshe Rabbeinu get this rebellion? You know when? Korach picked the most vulnerable time for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu just finished with several catastrophes. He had the catastrophe of the Meraglim. The Jewish people were then condemned to stay in the desert for 40 years. People were upset. The Ramban explains in the Sefer of my Rebbe of the Chidekel, he brings down the Ramban. And the Ramban explains that the Jewish people were very concerned. Why, if he prays for the Jewish people by the eagle, by the calf, the golden calf, how could he, didn't he pray for the Jewish people that they shouldn't be condemned for 40 years in the desert and that the Meraglim should be saved? He didn't do that. Oh, he didn't do that. Something's wrong here. And now there was a story with another episode. Remember, by the geese, there were people died by the fire that was burning. Then at the time when the Jewish people begged for meat, and Hashem gave them all the meat they wanted, and they died with the meat in their mouth. How come he didn't pray for the Jewish people then either? Moshe Rabbeinu was so very vulnerable. He didn't. First of all, he did. He prayed for the Jewish people. The proof is, because we know that Hashem says, Salachti kizavecha, I have forgiven you according to your request. But he didn't save them completely. Hashem at that point was ready to wipe out the Jewish people. Lock, stock, and barrel. So we'll make you a leader and finish. We don't need this anymore. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the future with Ruach HaKodesh, that there was no way of getting the Jewish people clean from this sin. But at least he will get something. He'll get time. He'll be able to have the Jewish people live for 40 years in the desert, slowly die out, and that would be one way of dissipating the tragedy. He knew that there was no way of erasing this the way he erased the eagle. But he couldn't tell it to the Jewish people. So the Jewish people look at this, how come he didn't stop that? How come he didn't stop that, the condemned? And we're now going to be stuck here in the desert for 40 years. And we're not going to be able to enter Eretz Canaan, as we were hoping to, because those from 20 over wouldn't do it. Korach, very sneaky and very smart, looked for this vulnerable moment and now comes out against Moshe in public. And says, Moshe Rabbeinu, how come you picked Aaron, your brother, and how come I wasn't chosen? And now everyone's listening to that. And people are in the back of their minds saying, you know something? Something's fishy here. How come Moshe Rabbeinu is doing things like that behind the scene? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is a Navi Sheker. Maybe he's an untrue prophet. How do we know? One thing we know for sure. We were at Har Sinai. We saw it all. What we saw, we believe. Did we hear it, the conversation? And maybe we didn't hear Hashem tell him to be, make Aaron the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol. And this was part of the whole thing, yes.
Maybe, I think that what he's doing, like, he has a legitimate, even though, like you say, he's vulnerable, he picks a vulnerable moment, but to be that position, he has a point.
Well, he believes
that he was a righteous man. He could have given a very good reason why he should have had that position, but I think that the problem was is that he went about it wrong, like the spies did. That he should have held a private meeting, and you know, just like anybody who wants to become CEO and they're passed up, that they right. You know, they can go in front of the board and say, you know, I feel that
I was misjudged.
Right.
So
I was overlooked.
So you want to know,
Chazal
exposed the inner feelings of Korach. Korach was hungry for honor. We know honor, right? Hakina hataiva v'hakavod motzien es ha'otam min ha'olam. Jealousy, taiva, lust for immorality, and kavod can drive a person out of this world. Korach had an insatiable appetite for kavod. He should have done, like Reb Daniel said, have a conversation, something's wrong, explain yourself. Not to make him, but he looked for a vulnerable moment to create a scene so that a rebellion would erupt and then get it into a mob scene. And how did he end up getting all that to go? It's like kindling a fire and then creating an explosion. He did it in several ways. First of all, he looked at for the weakness where people were concerned why Moshe didn't pray for the success or for the I would say the salvation of the Dor HaMidbar, that they shouldn't get stuck for 40 years. That was the one thing I said a moment ago.
Right.
Second thing, Korach wanted the kavod, and therefore kavod blinded him. Now, there are two things I want to share with you. There are two things in his arsenal that works like atomic energy, and it works either for you or against you. And that is number one, chutzpah. You outspoken, you go up with chutzpah. You show that you're a man of words, of power. I'm going to stand up for my right. Chutzpah. The Torah says for chutzpah, you know, in Mishnah, Perkei Avos, he says, the Mishnah says, I'm trying to remember the exact words. If a person is mechutzav, is open for Gehenna. I skipped the words. I had it in my mind. All right. The person is a chutzpahnik. A chutzpah is Azaz ponim, that's it. Az ponim le gehenim, I'm quoting your Mishnah. Az ponim and azaz ponim. A arrogant, a cold, disrespectful face, a cold person, disrespectful for feelings. Az ponim le gehenim. A person has az ponim le gehenim. That is where he was heading, this man. But how was he successful with his azaz panim? How was he successful? With litzanis, with mockery. He took a mitzvah and made it into a joke. He took a mitzvah and showed how ridiculous from the outside, if you study a certain mitzvah from the outside, how you can ridicule a mitzvah. For example, the two famous mitzvahs we know from the Torah, or it was brought down in Chazal, here the mitzvah of tzitzis. Tzitzis has a blue thread, right? So we had, or his henchmen, really they were also great people, wear a talis katan that was all blue. So he said, if a talis katan contains completely blue, does the fringes also have to have a blue thread? So Moshe says, "Upisil techeles v'hayo lachem letzitzis," and there has to be a blue thread, and there those will be for you for fringes. And he started ridicule. You made it up. Does that make sense? If the whole garment is blue, why do I need one thread? Then one thread certainly is unnecessary. And he had everyone mocking Moshe. Then he asked him about the mezuzah. If we fill up a room with Sifrei Torah, and we know every Sefer Torah has Krishma in it, and we know the little scroll that's put into the mezuzah has a Shema, do we still have to put a mezuzah on the door if the whole room is filled with Sifrei Torah from the floor to the ceiling? He said, I don't know what to tell you, but that's what it says in the Torah. And you should write on your doorpost mezuzos, right? Does not matter. And again he ridiculed and everyone's mocking him. And they were making fun of how they were lifting the Levim, because the Levim needed a hanafa and needed to be waved. And by miracle he did 22,000 Aranakar and 22,000 Levim he lifted in order to inaugurate them, consecrate them, put them into the position of Levia, to make them holy. Now, okay, from the outside perspective, it would be odd, but that was a command that Hashem told Aaron, and he had to do. And it wasn't viewed as a mitzvah from Hashem, although Hashem, and this was known. But when you take a mitzvah and you make a mockery out of it, you can supersede anything. You can get the most serious person, right, and have him ridicule the most important thing in life. Let me tell you, the Chazal tells us a very famous quote: "Latzana achas doichemeya tochachas." One joke could wipe away 100 speeches of reproof. Someone's going to give a drasha, a musa drasha, on Erev Yom Kippur, and one guy in the back makes one comment, one joke, and ridicules the speech, the entire speech goes down the drain. That's the power of Litzanis. This is what it's all about. A Leitz is a terrible, terrible person because he takes something serious and he ridicules. That was in the arsenal of Amalek. When Amalek attacked the Jewish people, when they talk about Amalek at the time of Purim, you know, we read Pasha Zachor, right? We talk about the story of Amalek, how they came. They came and cooled off the Jewish people. There are three explanations of Ashakorcha Baderech. So Rashi, one of the Pshatim says, they cooled off with Litzanis. They ridiculed the Torah. They ridiculed and they made fun of Bris Mila. They ridiculed. They took something sacred and they ridicule. When you ridicule, you make Litzanis for something serious and have everyone laugh at it. It's powerful. It's destructive. And that's what Kairach did.